Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Come to see, it is not man. We've come to see Christ. We've come to see Jesus. Let's just give him praise. Let's bless his name. Scripture says that the more we see him, the more we become more like him. We are transformed from one degree of glory to another. We are transformed into his image. Can we just give him the fruit of our lips and just say, Father, we bless you. Jesus, we give you praise. Jesus, we worship you. God, we bless you. God, we reverence you. God, we reverence you. God, we reverence you. Let's just adore him. Can you just sing a song to him from your heart? Let the Spirit of God inspire you with a song. Let the Spirit of God, it could even be a new song. Just let the Spirit of God. Jesus, we bless you. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Mambra shata paradiati selegoshe bradiati falagisha bradiati sobradoshe ananadita. Barabadishe prekletu shatamia devedose piada shike debro. Mano zedelegedisha pratisu felegita bragadia shabra ostekele bradadiati kuse. Egeledusha bradadisha taparadiati kata. Even in our imperfection, the Lord remains perfect. In our unfaithfulness, the Lord remains faithful. Lago Shatama Nadiati is our Father, our protector, our lover, our deliverer. Embrosila dia shata kulebre dia shatia gusa is our God. Proshote garekete ketisha prakatisha pradisho beledia fadia brakata paya prokusha praya. Elego siti manadiati radusha panekuse prekialitanku debelia. Don't just stand there and look at me. I want you to give expression to your worship. Give expression to your worship. Evraniate subanita lago selembre enanato atifaya. Ekodo delebrendia sheyana dakute prekia sisule de dilabala boatifa diagabai. Elo se telebrato akiti prenenuza bragadia shapadia da balabadia dita. Enosia la bareto si celebrato asiva la bia de cose velia gada brachia dosha. Ene do aseta la bradia da colebredia se galado titintia capaia la dos de ke. Embonoso predia badia. Can we just raise incense of worship? Can we raise incense? Raise incense, raise incense. Ena nosia la bande cotia ne cosi la bande fai e lo tuafa. Ena barado se ke titanta la coco te felia pa. And on us, Yalabare, do Shadia la Gabraga Broco to Atipa, Embalabiato, so Prekia Fadiate, Enanaco Shabaladiate, Embolo Duane Pradiate, Po Shapaniate, Embalado Shapradia Fai, Enedego Tiaparedo, Shialabania Desha. Jesus, we give you praise. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. Eredia Paniate, Solo Boate. We see the Lord. We see the Lord. We see the Lord. We see the Lord. We love you, Lord. We know you, Lord. Ene go ti ala besia tana go tele diasa. Ene no se la baniate shala be adiasi. This is the audience of one. It is the audience of one. It is you and your Lord. It is you and your God. This is the audience of one. Can you see him? Can you see the Lord? Can you see the Lord? Do you see the Lord? Enoshila manita in the beauty of his holiness. Do you see him in the beauty of his holiness? We give you praise, Lord. And then, oh, Janan, praise is serious business. Praise is serious business. And then, Zulagana, can you give God praise? Can you give God praise? Can you exercise the authority on your lips? Can you give God praise this morning? If you don't know what to say, but you can pray in the spirit, open your mouth and pray in the spirit. Scripture says that he has blessed us with the gift of praying in other tongues. Because there are times when we don't know what to say, but we can say the words and the words of the spirit. We see the Lord. Mano tiala pa eko shala biade ta tiala badia. Ere diate ko shiale abiana na tiala biada so sede dia. Ene biale ko shiala bani ka eto. Ena miana so sele diade. Embra liade ta la biagada. Yesu liya bara baya de boro bo shobre kiada bala diate. Ebale abare shia bara baya de. Ele bro shia baya de. Embra do shia biala diake. Embrosia la brada doce, embradia da bala guadi bede, bragadia braga la brugodo godo, bragade beragado shabaladiada, rete de bojo broga de betia, embracato shabaliateca, embarado se pedefia, embrosia la bragia de ba, embradia doce, aneco shabaladiada. In Jesus' name, we are still praying. Amen. So there's something prepared for us, you know, there's something in the church, but you know, I just feel that it's also okay to just flow with the Spirit of God. You know, I don't know if you've been in this situation before. You are in the place of prayer, you want to pray maybe for 1 hour, but you get there and you find out that you cannot even pray. You spend the rest 1 hour just praising God, just saying thank you Jesus, thank you Jesus, thank you Jesus. And you're like, oh, I have prayer points. I have things I want to pray about. But you can feel that the Spirit of God in you just wants to thank God. Just want to say, I praise you. And for the next 1 hour, you're pacing. You're walking up and down. Or you're on your knees. Or you're standing. And all you're saying is, Father, thank you. Oh, I give you praise. Oh, I give you praise. And you keep doing that for the next 1 hour. For the next 2 hours. And you're just praising God. And your heart is being filled with joy as you keep praising God. And as you praise God, all those things on your prayer list is being addressed. Because when we praise God, God arises and his enemies scatter. And when his enemies scatter, nobody can stand before you and the blessing that God has for you. Because you are riding on the wings of praise to God. Can somebody just praise God this morning? I want us to just praise God. Can you just practicalize it and just praise him? Just praise him from the bottom of your heart. Say, Father, I give you praise. Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, I bless you. Jesus, I bless you. Oh God, I worship you. Eradosha palakotepe karate sopreti ateloshia baladia. If you can pray in the spirit, pray in other tongues. Erashiata. If you can't, you pray in understanding and say, Father, I give you praise. Oh God, I bless you. Oh Jesus, thank you. Oh Jesus, thank you. Oh Jesus, thank you. Oh Jesus, thank you. Reto shala biada biata. Erede lebo shele biata bariade te kapariada bode beliada bariate. Erada diada gedo shila bariada ba. Embralado shala biande kotia balabiate. Inana kuateta. Inana kuate la bariate so. Embradia shebragiado shebrania la batia fai. Embro shopele kiate te kwa. Embradia shebragadia bariate koto preketiata. Erosiada balagiada. Jesus, we give you praise this morning. Ebrosia la bradia de corregedia de bosha baria. Regede brosia baria de bolo bote bregedia. Amen. I want you to join us, not to spectate. Try and involve yourself. I like that music. That's the song. Amen. Just keep playing that song. You know, and I'm hearing God, I'm hearing in my spirit, God is saying that we should thank him for those things we are expecting. Do I have expectant people in the house? You are expecting a blessing. And God is saying, put it at the center of your mind now and begin to give him thanks. Instead of asking for that thing, begin to thank him because he has attended to it. And say, Father, I give you praise. Is somebody giving God praise? Do it with faith in your heart. Do it with faith in your heart. Do it with faith in your heart. Jesus, we give you praise. I say thank you, Jesus. Hesho. I say thank you, Jesus.
Hesho.
I say thank you, Jesus.
Hesho.
We are grateful, Jesus. We say thank you, Jesus. For your goodness, Jesus. For your kindness, Jesus. For your mercies, Jesus. We are grateful, Jesus. For the blessings, Jesus. For your name upon us. For your name upon us. For your name upon us. Where you are taking us, Jesus. Let's just give God a dance. Just give God a dance. Give God a dance. Just move your body. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Oh, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Give a shout of praise. Somebody shout glory. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Make a noise. Make a sound of victory. A sound of victory in the house. A sound of victory in the house. Hallelujah. 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 Give a shout. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this time, your presence. Thank you for what you are doing already. And thank you for what you are yet to do. Father, as we go into your word, we pray that you speak to us in the name of Jesus. Don't let man speak, but speak through man. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you because you've answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. The topic is worship, basically. Worship. Amen. Praise God. And it's from a scripture that we all know, you know, a common scripture. So it's more like a refresher course, because I believe that many of us already know some of these things, but it's good for us to remember. You know, one of the things about man is that man forgets. And that's why we need to continue. That's why we have to keep coming to church. We have to keep studying the word. Because yesterday's dose may not be enough for today. You know, especially because man actually do forget. And that's why we need to remind ourselves of God's faithfulness and remind ourselves of a lot of things. Amen. So taking our anchor text from the book of John. The book of John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. John chapter 4, 23 to 24. So I'll just read from here. It says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him. Then 24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It says, but the hour is coming. This was Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. Remember that woman? That woman that had five men that she had been with, and she's with a sixth man that is not her husband. And God was speaking to that woman, and in that conversation, you know, at the point in that conversation, they were saying that they were talking about worship and how true worship should be done. And the woman was telling Jesus that, well, our father has taught us to worship on a particular mountain. And he said, for the Jews, they believe that we ought to worship in Jerusalem. But Jesus told her that, you know, a time is coming where worship will no longer be a matter of location, a matter of maybe you are doing it in the mountain or in Jerusalem. He says, the hour is coming and the hour has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and the truth. So which means that the location of worship that God will now begin to honor is what we call the worship that is done in spirit and in truth. It means that we can worship God from any geographical location, but the acceptable worship to God is the one that is done in spirit and in truth. It's no longer a matter of location. It's now a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of sincerity in your worship. It's a matter of purity in your worship. It says, the hour has come and now is when the true worshipers. You know, when I saw the word true worshipers in this scripture, I realized that if there are true worshipers, then which means there are some other kinds of worshipers. I don't know if you agree with me. Just by inference, if Jesus was speaking and he said, the hour is coming when true worshipers. So could we also say that we have false worshipers? We have people that, like that woman, think that they need to go to a mountain to see God. And they believe that once they get to that mountain, and they believe that just by the reason of them getting to that mountain, they are already right with God. They are already seeing the Lord. They are already worshiping the Lord. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not true. You can be in a place and you are worshiping God, but if your heart is not in the worship, if your heart does not reverence God, then your worship is null and void. So he says, they are true worshipers. It means they are also what? They are also false worshipers. Which means there's a way that God would like to be worshipped. God does not just want to be worshipped anyhow. As much as it is good that we are praising God and we say, praise God anyhow, carry up your chairs, throw your handkerchief up, you know, do backflip, run around the church, all of that. Those are wonderful things, you know. We say just express your worship, express your praise, and all of that. So what this scripture is saying, that if you are doing all of those gymnastics, but your heart is not right in the place of worship, you are just doing exercise. It would be better for you to go and register in a gym, you know, and just, you know, work out. Because the presence of God is not really for physical workout. It's for spiritual workout. So scripture says that, you know, they say physical exercise profited little. So there's one that profited more. Now, am I saying that it is wrong to be gymnastic in the presence of God? No. But I'm saying that we must go back to the root of the matter, which is the heart. You know, we are approaching the end of the year now, and very soon you start seeing flyers everywhere. Praise night. I don't know, do you guys notice it towards the end of the year? Praise night everywhere. I feel like that's one of the moments of the year where praise singers or ministers, that's when they are most sought after. Everywhere, this person is ministering here today, ministering to you. But, you know, God is not so much moved about seeing all of those flyers. Don't think God is looking down from heaven and saying, wow, we are having 200 praise concerts in Nigeria or in Lagos in a day. And then it's like, oh, people are beginning to follow Jesus. Jesus does not see things that way. What he sees is, okay, the people attending those praise concerts, are they worshiping in spirit and in truth? Or they are going there just because they want to attend a praise night? I believe many of us here have attended praise nights before. And even as younger ones, some of us go to praise nights just because we want to see somebody. Understand? Maybe there's somebody you're hiring in church, and you feel like praise night is another opportunity to, well, I'm guilty. Praise God. Praise God. I'm guilty. So way back, there used to be this sister of God. So And you know, something about praise night is because it's an evening program. So usually we go to church earlier, maybe like 1 hour early. Let's say it's starting by 10, it can go by 9. So between that 9 and 10, you know, you can do pre-service, you know, conversations and all of that. So at the end of the day, when the praise starts, you dance, you do all of that. But your reason for coming to that place in the first instance is not even for... So the worship you are even giving, God cannot even see it. Because you are dancing, you are doing everything, you are just vibing. Even your dance, you want her to be looking at you. To see that, you have steps and everything, you know. And Jesus is looking from heaven. And I'm telling you, Jesus is not seeing worship. So it's possible for there to be a lot of activities and very little worship. And that's why, if you now go forward further in this scripture, you will see that it says, worshippers, we worship the Father in spirit and truth. It says, for the Father seeks such to worship him. So this place also struck my attention when he said the Father seeks. So it's like God is actually looking for true worshippers. That is to tell you how scarce they are. I'm telling you that you are going to see millions of people gather for concerts and all. But God is looking down and is still looking in their midst and looking for true worshippers. And I'm telling you that God will look down and single out people that are true worshippers and leave those that are false. So what gives God pleasure? What is the kind of worship that gives God pleasure? For us to really understand, we must first understand that worship is first a lifestyle. Understand? When you say you worship God, your worship of God is first a lifestyle. Worship is not just when we come to church and we say, let us begin to worship God. What we are doing in that scenario is we are actually giving expression to our worship in words. But your worship actually should be an entire lifestyle. It's something that you do 24/7. When you go to work, you must worship God with your work. When you come to church, you worship God with your service in church. So you don't wait for God to do something for you. You understand? Maybe God does something, gives you promotion at work. Then you now begin to say, oh God, I worship you. I thank you for this promotion. No, you are supposed to keep worshiping God, promotion or not. And then when the promotion comes, with that promotion, you are still worshiping God. So you worship God with the things that you have. You don't worship God, you know, as much as, yes, we want to give thanks to God, want to praise God for the things he's doing for us. We need to also understand that after thanking God for what he has done, you need to learn to now begin to worship him with that thing. I don't know if you are getting me. So you can get promotion and then you get a pay rise and then you thank God for it for that moment. And then the next thing, you begin to spend the money the way you like. But that's not it. After thanking God for that pay rise, you need to now know the mind of God for that pay rise. How does God want to be worshipped with that pay rise? How does God want to be worshipped with that extra resource that he has given to you? So you found out that everything around you is meant to be used as a tool of worship to God. Praise God. Now, these are basically the foundations of true worship. If your heart is not right with God and you think you can just maybe just cajole God with a song, it doesn't work that way. And another thing we need to understand is your emotions do not move God. You know, I can be quite emotional too at times, you know, when worshiping God. And it's fine to express emotions. It's fine to shed tears, to cry, to laugh and all of that. But your emotions don't move God. What moves God is your faith. Hallelujah. And worship is also an expression of faith. Praise God. So I wrote down here that worship is known to be an act of reverence and devotion toward an entity. It could be God or something else. But in this context, we are talking about God. So our worship of God is an act of reverence and devotion toward God. Worship is absolute service to the one that you worship. You know, one of the best expressions of worship is service. You cannot say you worship God and you're not serving him. You're not committed to serving him. You're not committed to doing his will. You're not committed to even knowing what he likes. You know, in the olden days when our lands were still very much taken over by idolatry, you know, and all of that, Ogun, Obatala, and all sorts. When those guys, when they say they are worshipping those deities, it's not, they don't say they are worshipping those deities because they sing a song to them. They worship those deities because they literally commit their entire life to those deities. There are things that they must not do, and they must not do those things. And it's part of the worship to the deity. There are things that they must not say, and they must not say. There's a way that they even have to appear before the deity. And all of those things are summed up and say, this person worships Ogun. This person worships Obatala. You know, but as Christians, I don't know how we got to the place where when we hear worship, what we think about is song. When you hear worship, the next thing I think about is song. I think about a song. One very, you know, one very moving Christian song that moves your heart. But worship is beyond the singings. Worship is beyond the songs. Worship is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of commitment to God. If you say you are worshiping God, then your life must be 100% committed to God. And that is the way it works. And that is what Jesus was talking about when he said, true worshipers. And he says the Father is actually seeking for this kind of people. The Father is seeking for people who don't just worship him by the mouth, who don't just worship him on Sundays alone, but worship him all through the week. You know, we are in a season of praise. You shouldn't wait till Sunday morning before you praise God. You should be in your prayer closet and you are praising God. You should be at work and you are praising God, because praise is also a form of worship. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we need to understand that God is not a man. Like I said, it's a refresher course on worship so that, you know, we can just, again, understand this, the root and the source of what we are doing when we say we are worshiping God or we are praising God. God is not a man. He's moved by the Spirit and not by the outward. You know, as interesting as this may sound, is true. That's the truth. God is not moved by, you know, our outward expressions as much as they are good. He's actually moved by the intent of your heart. He's moved by your motive. So when you do what you do, why do you do what you do? When you praise God the way you praise God, why do you do it? Are you doing it because of a man said you should do it, or because you are doing it from a heart of reverence? Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6 to 7. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6 to 7. I read. It says, when they came, this was talking about Samuel, when Samuel was looking for the next king of Israel, and the Lord sent Samuel to the house of Jesse. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. So you can be tall, dark, and handsome, and rejected. Amen. So it's not about physical appearance. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. True worshipers are people that worship God from the heart, from the depth of their being. You know, when Samuel got to the house of Jesse, the moment he saw Eliab, the guy was looking macho, was looking good, looking smart, and in his mind, he felt, wow, who else should be the king of Israel if not this man? He has the appearance of a king. He has the appearance of a king. You know, many people think it's all about appearance. But what God told Samuel is, I have rejected this one. He did not even say leave him alone. He actually used the word rejected, that this one is not even in the scheme of things. He says, you are looking at the outward, but God looks at the heart. I want us to begin to shift our focus back to our heart. When you come to the presence of God and you are expressing your worship, where are you doing it from? Why are you even doing it? These are questions you need to ask yourself. When you begin to ask yourself these questions, you understand that you are not supposed to even come, and you don't need to be motivated to begin to praise God. You don't need to be whined and whined and whined and whined.
before you begin to praise God. In fact, well, sorry to say, if they have to wind you to praise God, then it means something is even wrong with your prayer life. That's the truth. Because if you have a prayer altar, praise is one of the things you do there. And if you have an opportunity to praise God, you just go into it expressly. Why? Because you know the value of it and you have a working altar with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Worship must come from the heart to be acceptable by God. Worship must be real and sincere, not faked or done for eye service. The matter of worship is the matter of the heart. You know, scripture says that wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will also be. The matter of worship is the matter of the heart. A true worshiper loves God unconditionally. Hallelujah. Because you can actually not even worship God without expressing love for God. Worship and love cannot be separated. Can we look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 5? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Love is also worship. Whatever we do to reverence God, to honor God, is worship to God. And I'm telling us that it is beyond a momentary thing. It's something that has to become part of our lives. It's something that has to come from our heart. So that scripture says that in verse 24, it says that those that will worship God, we worship Him in spirit and in truth. In truthfulness, with sincerity of heart. You know, one of the ways we will know who you are worshiping is by the kind of decisions you make in your life. We will know. If it's God you are serving, or if it is something else, we will know them by decisions. So these are not things that are far-fetched. These are things that we can actually just sit down there and evaluate ourselves. Evaluate your decisions. Evaluate the kind of things you do. In the office, in church, at home, all of these things will point to who you are worshiping. Are you worshiping God or worshiping something else? God must be the focal point of your life. If you claim to be a true worshiper, then God must be the focal point of your life. There should be no decision that you make that we cannot trace the reason, one way or the other, to God. Either God told you to make the decision, or God is the influence of the decision. These are things that express true worship. So worship is a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle. Amen. So one of the things I want us to do this morning is just evaluate our hearts. And begin to evaluate some things in your heart, you know, or in your life that are making it impossible for you to offer true worship to God. Some things in your life that is making it impossible for your life to actually be a life that worships God. I've told us that worship is beyond singing. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is something that you must do 24/7. Your decision making must reflect worship. Your words, your actions, they must reflect that there is a God somewhere that you honor. There's a God that you reverence. There's a God that you love. These are the true worshipers that God is seeking. And the question is, are you one of them? Are you one of these true worshipers? Or do you just come to church because it is Sunday? I know people who go to church just because Sunday I should be in church. At least to show God that at least I still have Him in mind. There are people like that, I'm telling you. To just show God I still have in mind. Monday to Saturday, they do their thing. Then Sunday, we have to give God the Sabbath. Or we have to give God what belongs to God. You know, we give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to Christ what belongs to God what belongs to God. And in their mind, they are thinking, I have to just go to church on Sunday. And after that service, once they leave church, they go back to their normal, regular life. that life, you are just whining yourself, really. I'm telling you, you are just whining yourself. The very sincere. Well, it may be good because you are coming to church and you are hearing the word of God. And as you are hearing the word of God, God can be working on your heart and making you better. You know, bringing you closer to him and bringing you to a place where you begin to worship God in spirit and in truth. And if you are here this morning, that could also be why you are even here now, listening to this word, so that you can understand that, A, your life is beyond just coming to church on Sunday to mark attendance, so that God will just feel like, okay, you gave him what belongs to him. No, it's beyond that. God actually wants your entire life. He wants the Monday to Saturday, the Sunday after service, every part of your life, God wants it. That is true worship. And those are the kind of worshipers that God is seeking. That is the worship that gives God pleasure. That's the worship that gives God pleasure. It means that every day of your life, you're in your office, everywhere you are, God is looking at you, and what God is receiving back is pleasure. So, you know, a responsible child will want to make his or her parents proud. A responsible child does not want, you don't want your parents to be looking at you and what is in their mind is they are feeling bad. They are feeling sober. They are feeling sorrowful. And they are just wishing that one day you are going to make a U-turn and become a better person. But what a responsible child desires for his parents or her parents is that they look at you and they get pleasure and they are just happy that, wow, this my son is making progress. This my daughter is making progress. This my son is making me proud. This my daughter is making me proud. I don't know if you've seen that kind of thing on your parents' face. You did something very, very wonderful. Maybe your progress, you got a new job, you passed your exam, you graduated. And you can just see the joy in their faces because you are giving them pleasure. Now, that is what God wants to be getting from us every minute, every hour, every second. He wants to look at your life and get pleasure and be happy and be proud of you and say, indeed, this is my son. Indeed, this is my daughter. He doesn't want to look into your life and feel grieved. He doesn't want to look at your life and feel grieved. So every moment of our lives, that's the word for this morning. Every moment of our lives, every moment of our day is just a word of reconsecration. A word of you, you know, going back to the table, going back to the books. And, you know, you have to do a redress of your activities, of your life. Do I only worship God on Sundays? Do I only worship God when I'm in a fellowship? Or do I allow God to receive all the glory over my life every single minute? Now, these are the true worshipers. These are the true worshipers. As much as you can, attend programs. As much as you can. All this word that you hear from programs, the worship sessions, you know, the prayer sessions, and they are good. They, you know, they bring us to a place. But I'm saying that what keeps us in that place is actually a decision that we have to make to commit our lives to a lifestyle of worship. And saying, God, take all of me. Take all my heart. Take all that belongs to me. You must worship God with everything that you have. You must worship God with everything that you have. 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 All that belongs to you. All that is around you. They must be tools with which you worship the Lord. Now, what are some of those things that hinder, quickly as I round up, what are some of those things that hinder our true worship to our Father, our true worship to God? I will just summarize them into what we call idols. Hallelujah. Because either you like it or not, every moment of your life, you are either worshiping one thing or the other. If you are not worshiping God, then you are worshiping idols. You may not know it, but you are worshiping idols. The idols we are talking about are not, they are not like the Shigidi of those days. They are not like, you know, altars of Ogun and Oya and all those things. No. The idols of nowadays are other things. Idols for you could be technology. Idol for you could be a passion. Anything that takes the priority in your heart, that takes the place of God, the place that God, the number one spot in your heart that God is supposed to be occupying, anything that takes that spot has become unto you an idol. It has become unto you an idol. And idols are the reason why we don't offer true worship to God. Idols are the reason. It's that simple. Idols are the reason. Once we are able to take away the idols and give it all to God, we find it that it is not as difficult as a sin. But we must make the decision. God can help you. God can push you. God can position you. But God will not choose for you. What I mean is, God will not make the decision that you are supposed to make. You know, what God can do is He can orchestrate the scenarios. He can begin to, you know, make things work and push you to that place of making that decision. But eventually, you are the one that needs to make the decision to say, God, I want to be a true worshiper. I don't want to worship just by mouth alone. I don't want to be a Sunday Christian. I want to be a child of God that every day of my life is giving glory to God. Can we quickly look at the scripture as we wrap up? We'll just pray a bit and then the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, a scripture on idols. Ezekiel, hallelujah. If we have it, we can also project it. Ezekiel 14, 2-3. All right, Ezekiel 14, I read. And the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, these men have taken their idols into their hearts and set the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? So from this scripture, we can see this is God speaking through the servant of God, Prophet Ezekiel. And he's saying that these people have taken their idols onto their hearts. How can I still let them to inquire of me? So the blocker, what blocks our access to God many a times are idols. And idols nowadays, like I said, are not statues anymore. You know, there are things that we do from day to day. There are things, there are passions of our heart. It could be social media, it could be anything. You know, there are lots of them. I don't want to start giving examples. There are lots of them, but you can assess your heart. Whatever is in your heart that has taken the place of God, that no longer allows you to focus on God, to make God the center of your life, that thing has become unto you an idol. And that thing must go. It must go for God to have preeminence over your life. It is then that you become a true worshiper. It is then that you become a child that gives God pleasure. Let's look at Colossians 3:5. Book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Then he gives examples: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. He says, which is idolatry. So these are just a few examples. But look at the kind of things that was mentioned in this scripture. Things like fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. And he called these things idolatry. The scriptures refer to these things as idolatry. So idols are not necessarily physical things. Idols could even be habits. Idols could be addictions. But God is saying that for you to become a true worshiper, the idols have to go. Because you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. You have to choose. And, you know, your deliverance starts from your decision. Your deliverance starts from your decision. For a person to be delivered, for a person to enter a new day, the person must first decide that enough is enough. Enough is enough. And that's why, you know, Jesus was giving us, Jesus was talking in scriptures, and he was saying that, he was giving an example, an illustration, and saying that when demons are being cast out of a man, the demons go, they go around the earth, you know, they just go around, they just roam around, and then after a while, the demon comes back, and then when the demon knocks upon the door of the heart of that person and finds out that the place is well kept, you know, like nothing, there's nothing there, no activity, nothing has occupied that space, the demon will go and get other demons that are even stronger than it, and then they will come and invade, so that the state of that man will now become worse than his initial state. Idols need to be taken away, and Once you make the decision that, okay, I want to begin to follow the Lord, then your deliverance can start. Because when the Lord delivers you, he doesn't want to leave a vacuum. He wants to deliver you and fill you up. But God will not force himself upon anybody. So if God really loves you, he will deliver you first by bringing you to a place where you decide and say, today, I want to begin to worship you. I want to begin to follow you. So it starts with a decision. Then after the decision, the deliverance happens, and then God can fill up your heart, because there's a willingness in you. There's an openness to receive God, to receive of God. There's no point being delivered if there's no willingness to receive God. There's no point being delivered if there's no readiness in your heart to receive God, to receive him into your life. And that's why many a times it is good that before we even deliver people, we need to make them understand, bring them to a place of enlightenment, to know that, A, deliverance is not the end of the matter. It's actually the beginning. After deliverance, you need to begin to fill your heart with God. Begin to fill your heart with the knowledge of God, with passion for God, with love for God. And when you begin to fill your heart with that, and then you begin to grow in that, then you become stronger and stronger in the faith, and you become a true worshiper of God. So you serve what you worship. Placing anything above the love of Christ in your heart is worshiping that thing. And we must all repent. We must all repent. I want us to just take this moment, you know, I'm done. I want us to just take this moment to just reassess our hearts. You know, reassess your heart. Is there anything in your life that is currently taking the number one spot ahead of God? And you call yourself a Christian, you call yourself a child of God, but there's something in your heart, there's something on this earth, there's something somewhere, it could even be somebody, that has taken the place of God. God is no longer the number one spot. God is no longer occupying the center of your life. And in fact, you can remember times when God was number one. You can remember those times, and they are like history, because things have changed. You are distracted. Other things have taken its place. Idols. Things of this earth. Things that will pass away. Things that will pass away. They will pass away and be no more. But the word of our Lord remains forever. God remains forever. I want you to begin to check your heart and say, Father, take these things away. Take these things away. Take these things away. Take these things away, Lord. Take them away, Lord. Take them away, Lord. Are you doing that assessment? I want us to do that assessment in our hearts. Just look inwards. Look inwards. Look inwards. Look inwards. Don't wait for somebody to come and look for you. Look inwards. Is there anything that has taken the place of God in your heart? When God looks upon the earth, are you among the true worshippers or are you among the false worshippers? Who exactly are you? Where exactly do you stand? Do you stand with God or do you stand otherwise? If you find yourself alone in a lonely place, who do you stick with? Do you stick with God or do you stick with your idols? It's easy for us to show up in church and show up as righteous people and show up as people that love God when we are amongst other believers and when we are amongst other people. But when we are alone, when you are alone, standing alone, just you and God, and you have a decision to make, do you stand with God or do you stand with your idols? I want us to open our hearts up to God with a willingness to let go of the idols. Let go of the idols. Your job, are you using it as a tool to worship God? Is it a tool of worship or has it become an idol? It is either you use it as a tool of worship or it becomes an idol. Anything you are not using to worship God, anything you cannot worship God with, eventually becomes an idol because it takes the place of God in your life. I want us to look inwards. Father, The Lord seeks those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. They will worship him from their heart. Scripture says that who knows the heart of a man, save the spirit of that man. Can we look inwards? Can we begin to express our desires to worship God in spirit and in truth, with our hearts, with our whole, with everything that belongs to us? Lato shebregia tefala diasha. Can we just rise up on our feet? Amen. As we take this prayer, let us rise up on our feet. Brasho tefeletia parita siya baladiasha. Mempro shati kaprate suprekeli shabragadiate. Egato shapaladiate fanadiashe. Sheperetu shapalatiafa. Let us pray and say, Father. I can't hear you. Say, Father. Say, Father. Every idol that is standing in the way of me giving you pure and acceptable worship, take them away. This prayer has consequences. I want you to pray it with understanding and say, Father, pray it at the top of your voice and say, every idol that is standing in the way of me giving you pure and acceptable worship, Lord, take them away. In the name of Jesus, Rashata Paratia Satya Labadash. Breko Shatapalakyatusha. Are we praying? Are you praying or you are looking? I want you to open your mouth and pray and say, Father, take them away. Take them away in the name of Jesus. Everything that is stopping me from worshiping you with all that I am, with all that I have, oh God, take them away. Take them away. Take them away. Take them away. Take the idols away. Interestingly, some of us know what these idols are. I want you to begin to present them to God and say, Father, take it away. I cannot do it by my strength. I cannot do it by my power. But you can empower me to do it. Oh God, take them away. In the name of Jesus. Everything taking the place of God. Every idol. Let them be taken away. That my gaze might be upon the Lord and the Lord alone. That my gaze may be upon the Lord and the Lord alone. That my gaze may be upon the Lord and the Lord alone. Rasha parati sekele bredia shapalakia tasi bregedia shapalagadia. Ebro shapalia tesa. Embro shapalaketo si legedia. Is somebody praying? Embratiaka. One of the benefits of being a true worshiper is the fact that you become somebody that has proximity to the voice of God. You become close to God's voice. To hear God's voice will not be difficult for you. And when you hear God's voice, an end is put to confusion in your life. I want you to pray and say, Father, bring me to the place of true worship. Bring me to the place of true worship. Bring me to the place of true worship. Bring me to the place of true worship, that I may worship you in spirit and in truth all the days of my life. I don't want to worship for eye service, but I want to worship for love, because I love you, because I know you. Can we pray? Two more minutes. Can you just pray that prayer from the bottom of your heart? Everything taking the place of God, everything that is competing with God in my heart, oh Lord, take them away. 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 In the name of Jesus. Rasha pata pareto sebrakita pradiase. Embro shapalakite prekiata. That I may be a benefactor of all the miracles that are associated with true worship. Ratasa, of all the blessings that are associated with true worship, that I may hear your voice clearly all the days of my life. Oh God, make me a true worshiper. Oh God, take away every idol that stops me from offering true worship to you, that stops me from offering pure and sincere worship to you. Take away the idols in the mighty name of Jesus. Rashata palabite prakatoje. Brekushta pradia sekule brisha paleate pratia te sebrugoate. Impreshi blaka de brugo do buruto si pele brekiateta. Impele shutalabai. Somebody praying. Ereshutalatia. Bring me back to the place of true worship, God. Bring me to the place of true worship. Rashapatai klato koto shibrekete fediate. Brekete bediate. In Jesus' name we have prayed. A resounding amen. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. My heart is fixed on you, God. Shabalati afala. My soul gazes. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed on you, God. My soul. Say, my heart is fixed. Say, my soul. Say, my heart is fixed. Hey, my soul.